Roberta Schultz is in the studio with me tonight. She's one of our multi-talented Greater Cincinnatians. She plays guitar, sings, and writes for the Kentucky Women's Trio, Raison d'Etre, who have 8 recordings and 1 live concert DVD to their credit. 2 of her song lyrics have been published in motif anthologies, and several of her poems have appeared in the Pine Mountain Sand and Gravel publication. Listeners of this program will also recognize her as a contributor of book reviews to Around Cincinnati. Tonight, I'm excited to say we're going to talk about her first published book of poetry. It is titled Outposts on the Border of Longing. Roberta, pleasure to be here with you.
I'm really happy to be here myself, on this side of the mic.
On that side of the mic, yeah, that's a change, a big change, actually, in position. So let's start right out with the poem titled Outpost.
Outpost. The ranch house was painted pink when he bought it with a VA loan. Little outpost in a wilderness of thick green. Tangles of tawny wheatgrass buried our chiggered knees. Green snakes hung from the hickory limb, flicking tongues too near our ears. Black snakes raced into the wild roses, escaping the angry mower. Hognose snakes pretended to die in the middle of the two-rut road. With each new species, Violet screamed. With each new scream, Roseanne echoed. I found the machete Daddy brought from the South Pacific and hacked my way toward a vacant shed. Maybe this was like Africa in the National G's. Maybe we were missionaries.
You literally paint a picture for us here on the page. Pink house, green snake, black snake, tawny wheat, and even the names Violet and Roseanne. They're so colorful, and they really conjured up a time and a place for me. But I'm interested to know where this time and place was for you. What inspired this poem?
Well, this was the late 1950s in a place called Grants Lick, Kentucky, which my family had just moved to from inner city Newport. It was a big journey for us. I remember looking out the back of the car and waving at my friends and thinking I'd never see city life again or civilization again. And it was kind of like going on safari.
The National G's you refer to are...
The National Geographic.
Yeah, I thought that was a great reference because that was the rest of the world to so many of us in the 1950s. I want to ask you to read another poem, but before you do, if you would, this poem has a particular form. It's called a sestina. Would you tell us what that form is so people can tune their ears to that while you're reading?
Well, I'm not really an expert on the form. It was my very first attempt at writing in form. Pauletta Hansel, who runs a group called Practice of Poetry, as you know, had challenged us to write in that form. And I'm so bad at left brain thinking that I had to actually make a chart for myself and follow it as I wrote a sestina. The idea is to choose 6 words that have some power for you, and then to end each line of a stanza with the 6 words. And then as you change stanzas, progress through the words so that eventually you end up with the same order you started with. It was really hard for me to get into my head. Still is hard for me to explain.
Yes.
And if I wrote one again, I would probably have to look at my chart.
I think that's fair game. Well, if you would read us War, a sestina.
My hands dipped in finger paint for the game we called war, which did not usually involve a drum or slings or arrows. The object of the recess fight was to ground your enemies until the bell brought peace. Mrs. Reinhardt leaned to give us a piece of her skinny mind, to paint us with the ruffian brush of fight. She didn't like our game called war because it was unladylike. Her arrow stare bounced off our hearts that beat like drums. My charge was to drum up support from Lydia Smith. Our personal peace was tentative, but if we shot with arrow speed together toward Tony Trapp, who was fleeing to the paint of the basketball court, we could win this war in epic fight. Never mind that he would fight us off like gnats, our feet drumming, his shins in the fever of our brief war that must be ended before the bell, when we would piece together our torn dresses, painting ourselves as ladylike straight arrows for the arrow accuracy of Reinhardt's fit. Tony fell just inside the paint, next to the oil drum. The janitor had placed his barrier. Peace. no opponents left in this war. Any good game of war, without arrows, requires a pièce de résistance fight, a victory drum, and a fallen warrior tackled in his paint.
I'd say you mastered the form. It is a challenge to put words in a certain order, so to speak. Do you use any other forms, sonnet, for instance, or other poetic forms?
I've tried sonnet. That particular session of practice of poetry, we were really trying to use some forms. I've tried sonnet. That's not so hard for me since I'm a songwriter and I'm used to making rhyme at the end of lines. But the sestina was kind of hard because you have to end the line with the six words that you've chosen and you have to keep shuffling them through the order. So I find the lines got longer and I would often have to shorten them or enjam them, carry them over to the next line. Mm-hmm. And the rules of the game with sestina say you can use different forms of the words. So the words I had were paint, war, drum, arrows, fight, peace. So if you needed to change peace to pièce like I did in French or painted for paint or fit for fight, those also apply as part of the rules. You can change the form. I have tried a guzzle before, which is a Middle Eastern form that also involves some repetition, and I enjoy doing that.
Since you brought up writing songs as well as writing poetry, do you know when you start a piece what form it will take? Do you know whether it's going to be a lyric or a poem, or do they sometimes mutate into each other?
I think they do. I started writing a poem from a prompt that I had from my group, from my poetry group. And I happened to be at a songwriting workshop at the time I was working with a poem. And it suddenly started to have some music for me. I could hear some music that went with it. So it became a song. Started out as a poem and then became a song.
So you literally begin to hear the music in the background when you're writing something? I mean, is that what takes you in a lyrics direction?
If I start with just lyric, with the intent to write something that I think might be a poem, and it starts to sing to me and I can feel a rhythm that's definite, then it becomes a song.
Let's do one more poem tonight. This feels like a celebratory poem to me. It's called Senior Lap.
Every year, the seniors at Dixie Heights High School line up their cars in the front parking lot after the last graduation practice for the senior lap. Edgewood police stop traffic on US 127 for this rite of passage, while screaming 17 and 18-year-olds rev engines, honk horns, and circle their pageant past the high school entrance, onto Dixie Highway and back. Underclassmen sprout out windows like philodendra, their arms escape in tendrils of tribute. Teachers, too, line up on the steps to witness this once-a-year spectacle, shouting names, hooting, celebrating the cycle. One year, Justin Beale called to me from the back seat of a red four-door, "Schultz, get in." I could leave, I thought. I could finally go. It was the first time that thought became word. My principal saw my eyes and said, "Oh, no, you don't." The back door opened, and I fell into the howling pack of seniors laughing so hard they were hugging their knees. With a roar, we peeled onto Dixie Highway for one revolution of the parade, then back to my fellow teachers. A new creature crawled out of that back seat on uncertain but twitching legs.
Thanks for sharing your poetry with us tonight. Thanks for visiting with us on Around Cincinnati. Good to be with you, Roberta.
So nice to be here, Barbara.
I've been talking with Roberta Schultz about her new book of poetry. It is titled Outposts on the Border of Longing, which one critic described as Native American culture meets Wonder Bread and butterscotch pudding. You can discover it for yourself by going to WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.
Gravity's much heavier. Oh, atmospheric low is woven in.